life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. Brian Smith and Anthony Askew here on episode 118 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. It is November the 23rd, 2013, and joining us today is Greg Driver.
Hello!
And the reason Greg is with us today is because all three of us went to Leeds International Film Festival and sat in a dark room for 10 hours and watched cartoons. And Greg and Anthony also sat in a dark room for another 10 hours plus and watched horror movies as well. But I'm sure we'll hear about that when we get to...
Basically doing what I do at home, but in a social setting.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we'll get onto that with Watch You Watch, I'm sure. So, first up, the very final UK anime releases, as I'm killing this segment off.
Have we had enough?
I've had enough of reading out, Perfect Blue's coming out again. So all I'm going to do now is I'm going to go through what is on Amazon at the moment to come out in the future in the UK.
For the next decade.
With no dates, and then we may repeat this task possibly on the preview episodes. We'll see how often we can do this, but unless it's coming out from manga, stuff doesn't seem to be able to stick to a date. And even the manga stuff slips a week sometimes. But yeah, I'm just getting sick of reading the same things out over and over again.
Full Metal Alchemist this.
And Naruto that.
Yeah.
Monogatari.
It's the fact I've pre-ordered some of this stuff as well, and I'm getting the emails constantly telling me, it's not out this week.
Just salt in the wounds by having to say this.
It is. So let's see what's coming out. So, Cowboy Bebop Complete Collection. I'm sure we've mentioned that previously on DVD. Already bought it all on Blu-ray. So, I'd recommend doing that instead of getting it on DVD again.
Yeah.
Wolf Children.
Oh, awesome.
On DVD.
Yeah. Is it not a Blu-ray release?
It's getting a Blu-ray as well, collector's edition with bits and pieces with it, which I've got on pre-order.
Very nice.
That's coming out just before Christmas. Nisei Monogatari Part 2 on Blu-ray.
I predicted it.
You did, yes.
I knew it was coming.
Where we get that. My Neighbor Totoro Steelbook release on Blu-ray.
Still never seen that, you know.
Oh, it's pretty good. It's one of my favourite ones. Do I want a Steelbook Blu-ray of it? Probably not for that price.
It's always on Film 4.
Nah.
I think my mum's still got it on her DVR as well.
It is a good film. I don't know about a Steelbook. I'd like a Blu-ray, but I don't know about a Steelbook.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't want to pay over the extra just for a fancy bit of packaging.
Yeah.
Why did people go crazy for Steelbooks at one point?
Because they were a thing. They were an early 2000s thing that began with the Xbox One. It's like, look, you can get it as a steelbook, like Doom and Halo, and I fell for it.
Yeah.
But, Halo 2, Doom, things like that.
There's also Hell's Moving Castle steelbook, which I don't necessarily want to watch that again.
I like that film. I've not seen it for a while, but I like it.
It was okay, but I was like, well, I've seen it now. That's fine. Move on with my life. Black Lagoon, Roberta's Blood Trail, OAV.
Oh.
Why so excited, Greg?
Because it's absolutely fantastic.
I
love Black Lagoon, and Roberta's Blood Trail is actually really good. I like it.
I've never heard you this excited about anything.
Black Lagoon.
Surprise.
I don't know if that is a Blu-ray. Oh, it's a Blu-ray. Naruto Shippuden, Box 15. Well,
that's something. It happens in the series somewhere.
It continues. Same. Also continuing, Bleach Series 12 Part 2. Bleach. Sword Art Online Part 1.
Yes.
7 episodes on Blu-ray.
7? Is that all they can manage to...
Yeah, it's got some screwy, really expensive license or some specific... Maybe it's an expensive license or specific things written into the contract to say you've got to release it in this.
So it's going to end up in 3 parts?
4, I believe.
Oh, 4? How would it...
So it's going to cost you £80.
That is a rip-off.
It's like the releases of Persona. That came in 4 parts. Yeah.
And what's worse...
3 parts even. 3.
These Blu-rays will have Sword Art Online on them. It's an insult to injury.
And I love it.
You can also get it on DVD, similar, not similar, exactly the same spacing out episodes, but that's, £14 on here. Another, which is a horror series, which I think is still on Crunchyroll. I should probably watch that at one point, because I like the director. But that might just be a buy it if it's cheaper, a con job.
What? You haven't said what it is?
It's called Another.
Oh, okay, you were getting to it. I thought you would.
No, I said Another at the start.
Oh, right, I thought you were saying like Another, another release.
What was that crazy thing that comes in like 10-minute short, that's like short horror stories? It was done sort of, it was animated, but it was done like paper.
I watched that. I watched a little bit. I think it's called something Horror Stories. It's on Crunchyroll.
That's what I thought you were going to say. That's what I thought you were going to say.
You're annoying me now.
Yeah. Also on Steelworks, Nausicaa and Ponyo.
Ponyo, eh? Would that be... Oh, Ponyo, I thought you said Poyo Poyo. I mean,
no.
Is that cold outside? I'm freezing up. My brain's freezing up.
I'd buy Poyo Poyo on.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I thought it'd be more exciting. Yeah.
I think I'd buy Stover as well, actually.
Perfect Blue is coming out on Blu-ray, apparently, at some point.
See, if I was releasing that, I'd be really irritating and do Perfect Blue on, like, Greenway or something, just to, in a different coloured box, just to, you know,
I like
mess with people.
See, if manga were clever, they would have released it when our podcast hype was still floating around.
Well, also, it wasn't.
We didn't know at the time, did we?
What?
We didn't know that was coming at that time, though, did we?
Perfect Blue?
Yeah.
No, we did, yes. The original podcast timing, it should have come out that week.
Was it? I thought it was just coincidence.
No. It was deliberately careful planning from me, which is the other reason. It threw loads of my plans out.
It again.
Stuff not coming out with us.
We should dictate the release times.
I mean, I should know this, because I used to deal with schedules from every company in the UK, and none of them could stay on track.
Not learnt the lesson.
No, also there's Blue Exorcist Definitive Edition Part 2.
I don't know how
it could be a definitive edition and there'd be a part 2 of it. It's like surely definitive is in singular? I don't know.
I wasn't crazy about that. I wanted to like it, but I felt when it came down to the crunch it was just regular stuff.
I've dipped into it because I'm getting the comic now in Weekly Shonen Jump.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of these ones where it's a Weekly Shonen Jump, but it's from one of the Monthly Jump comics. So it's a big old chunk of comic, and I'm like, I'm not sure I can sit down and read all these pages of something I don't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
I do find it's harder to figure out what's going on in comics which run monthly and have a huge chapter compared to comics which run weekly and have like only like a 20-page chapter or so.
Because you've got that long in between chunks of it that you have to like,
really know what's going on. Robotech, Love, Live, Alive. I have no idea what that is.
I'm so out of touch with Robotech, Macross and
Love,
all that stuff.
Love, Live, Alive. Is that a new thing?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Is it a movie or is it...
56 episodes?
No. 90 minutes, so I assume it's some sort of either OAV. It says feature-length animation. All your favourite characters return in this brand new feature-length animation.
So, like, is that like every Macross pilot ever crammed into one?
I think it's just the most speeder characters. I do believe. That's from Revelation. They cut back. Do they only have Robotech now? Infinite Stratos Collection.
Why does that name ring a bell?
It's quite popular in Japan. I believe the books it's based on are, and so the... Outlaw Star Complete Collection. Ooh.
How much is that going for?
DVD, it's £20.85.
Mm-hmm.
The Place Promised in Our Early Days.
Yeah. That rings a bell as
Yes,
well.
Yes, it's by our favourite Makoto Shinkai, of which more later. I don't know how much foot fetishism is in that one. Dusk Maiden of Amnesia. No idea what that is. Sam Carrier. I know the name. I have no idea what it is. Fairy Tale, Part 5. I know what that is. It's a One Piece ripoff.
Ooh. Ooh.
Night Raid 1931. That's the show I didn't like because I didn't think they could draw hats very well.
How hard is it to draw a hat?
Well, I think we discussed, I'm not going to go into it again. Listen to earlier podcasts, so I'm sure you'll find me discussing about my gripes with people drawing hats badly. 009 Re-Cyborg Collector's Edition on Blu-ray.
Ooh.
That's the movie by the Ghost in the Shell standalone complex and Eden of the East director.
Yes.
That would be worth checking out, actually.
Yes.
Last Exile, Pham the Silver Wing.
That was that one from... Was that last year now? I can't even remember. I should probably see Last Exile.
Yeah, this is the sequel. I think someone re-released Last Exile at some point, and this is the sequel series. That's in part one. Is this a Zombie of the Dead collection?
That sounds great.
No idea what that is.
That sounds like a ringer.
There is no description there at all. Yes, who knows whether it is even anime. It's from MVO, but they do live action as well.
Yeah. Sounds like a collection of various, like, different ones that they've roped into one box set. Sort of.
Tiger and Bunny the Beginning. Oh, you've got my collection in my head now. Tiger and Bunny the Beginning, which I think, again, has slipped from whenever we first talked about it.
The Beginning was the film, wasn't it?
Yes.
Alright.
That was what we watched last year.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So yes, if you go a year back, listen to the podcast from a year ago, you'll hear us talking about that. Yeah, so that's it. That's everything sort of coming out, well, on the schedule, I think, through to early March, by the looks of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a few things we might look at in the future. Mm. And I'll be picking up the Tiger and Bunny thing. I've got Wolf Children on the pre-order already.
Yeah, I might have to pick that up.
Roberta's Blood Trousers and Wars.
Roberta, yeah, I thought you said Roberta's Blood Trails is there. No, Blood Trail.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. That's the end of this segment. Never coming back. It's dead. So.
Phew. There's going to be a huge barrage of, like, every episode. Where's the releases?
I'm sure people won't notice. But, I mean, the purpose of it was to give it the podcast some sort of timeliness. Because I think for a while we had recording loads of episodes in a row and then leaving it for a month, and it really got difficult to figure out which episode we were recording was when it was coming out, and also when there was a big gap actually remembering how to podcast again. But so hopefully we don't fall back into that situation.
No,
I think we've got our discipline of a weekly podcast down
now. Yeah. Except I can't do next week.
I can't do next week.
Really? Oh, what's going on? Can we now?
Not next. Well, the following podcast, we recorded this midweek because we were in Leeds, and then the next one I'll be recording on a Sunday, and then we're recording on a Wednesday again.
Oh, that's right. So, yeah. I like this Wednesday episode that we do midweek. Yeah, I like it.
I'm not so much of a fan, but.
Oh, really? Okay.
But it's handy for catching people who can't do 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon.
We're too hungover on a Sunday, like Greg.
No, I'm normally working now on Sunday.
True.
Anyway, Greg, Anthony, what you watch at Leeds Film Festival, which wasn't anime?
I'm trying to do a zombie voice. How are we doing this?
Well, just the pair of you tell the listeners about the horror films you saw.
I'll tell you how we're going to do this. We're going to do it as a battery.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
See, I didn't know what a battery was until I saw the film. I originally thought it was a battery of hens.
I did. I actually saw it and thought it was just going to be like battery, as in some kind of zombie flick that revolves around gore as like the main mechanic.
We should probably explain.
Yeah.
We should probably explain.
One of the best zombie movies I think I've ever watched, actually. One of the most original, anyway.
Yeah, it's called The Battery. Independent film. Cost $6,000 to make, apparently, so the announcer guy said pre-film.
And it's pretty much two guys, they're on their own in this zombie apocalypse, and it's pretty much just them through a big chunk of the film until one day, over the radio, they hear another group of survivors conversing, yep. And they're advised not to pursue, just leave it. Just, you know, go on as you go and don't come and find us. And then the more people they bump into, the more problems that happen.
Yep, the more trouble they get into. And it you know, they're basically like the odd, well, they're not really the odd couple because they both play baseball, but they're like sort of thrown together. They didn't know each other before the zombies.
Yeah, I think they mentioned that they're not actually friends. They just happen to be on this, like, newly formed, I don't know if it's a newly formed baseball team, but they're not really friends as such. They barely know each other.
They're just thrown together through baseball and a zombie apocalypse happening while they were together at some point. Yeah. And boom. They've had to survive, and it's really good. It's like, it's basically, because they're around each other 24/7, it's just lads getting on each other's nerves, basically. And zombies in between.
See, I wasn't expecting it to be as clever, because the dialogue I was expecting, oh, this is gonna be two guys swearing at each other, blowing heads off zombies, but
it wasn't Gears of War.
No, well, I thought that's what it could have been, but instead it's pretty witty, it's clever.
Yeah.
And I think it was a good start of the day, and I only give it a 3 out of 5 because I was expecting, you know, I thought, oh, well, this is a good start, but it's not great.
But in light of other films that day, it's, you know.
what did we watch next?
What did we watch after that? It was.
Oh, it was our favourite.
Oh yeah, The Strange Colour of Your Body's Tears.
Yeah. If you've seen a David Lynch film, then you're not even on track. It's far stranger. It's French. It's very arty. There's not much talking, which doesn't necessarily mean it's hard to understand, but it's just the series of events where there's no flow to the film. There's no kind of beginning, middle, or end.
And it all takes place inside one block of apartments.
Yeah. And it looks gorgeous. Like, visually, it's, as I tweeted soon after, it was like an extended eau de toilette advert. And it is. It's, you know, you see these Davidoff adverts. There's a guy walking up some stairs, taking a jacket off, and it looks very pretty. That's exactly what this film is like throughout. And I wish I could say what it's about, but I just know people die. Not necessarily a horror way, because I think it's more of a...
It's like a slasher.
A murder mystery. Yeah. It's, but it's kind of scary in weird ways, just because of how bleak and how atmospheric it is. It was good. But at the time, I didn't like it at all.
It's got this whole, like, if you've ever seen films like Suspiria, where it's all pretty, you don't see the killer much, you just see an arm with a leather glove on and a knife kind of thing, and that's it. And it's that kind of, like, weirdness where it's all...
But it's realistic as well, like, when there's a murder or an attack or any slash, it's not over the top, it's very...
Yeah.
It's very real, and it you can't help but cringe and squirm. Mm. Like, I was cringing multiple times in the film.
Yeah.
And I think it was very well done.
It was.
Though it took, I don't know, 3-4 days to realise that.
Yeah, when we first watched it, we were like, what was that? I was expecting to see a finely crafted bottle at the end. On some woman's dresser or something, but then like, then a couple of hours afterwards, it started to sink in that,
I think it's a lot to it.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily the kind of thing you want to watch for a mindless horror day.
No, at least.
I don't think.
Yeah, it was a bit heavy going.
It was. And what was next? Was it the short films next? I only want to really discuss one short film.
Yeah, short films, yeah. And I think I know the short film you want to talk about.
Well, I don't know whether you do, because do you want to discuss one?
Well, there
was 9 short films.
Yeah.
There was all these buckets at the front, and the guy was like, right, you've all got a marble. At the end of them, put your marble in the bucket. Most marbles wins the
short film.
The short film contest. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So which one do you want to discuss?
Well, I was going to talk about Shell Shock.
Oh, right. I wasn't. But that's an interesting choice.
Yeah. I was going to talk about Shell Shock because I thought it was quite clever. The whole, like, it's basically set in World War II. And you've got this British soldier, stumbles into a basement, obviously trying to escape from something. You don't know whether he's a deserter or anything. It's only a short film. You don't get much background as to how he gets there, but he seems to be suffering from shell shock. He's, you know, the noises are setting him off and everything when he's hearing the bombs going off above him. And he's shortly after joined by a soldier from the enemy side, a German soldier. And there's a bit of a standoff, and they both decide to put their guns down, and it goes from there. And, yeah, it's pretty... well, I guess with it being a short film, it's hard not to spoil it. But
yeah, zombies turn up.
Yeah, zombies turn up, yeah. And then, yeah, that's how it becomes a horror movie.
So it's almost disappointing when the zombies turn up, because it manages, like the film manages to have this really tense kind of put your gun down first moment.
Yeah.
No, 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 I don't trust you. That a tense kind of hell in the Pacific, two rival sides brought together, and they've got to deal with it.
Yeah.
And, the German turns on him in the end.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because
German had no bullets in his gun.
Yeah, the German had no bullets in his gun, and he intentionally picks up the English guy's gun when the zombies turn up, and then shoots the English guy, and then he turns into a zombie as well.
Yeah, and it was really, really good. I enjoyed that one. And what was the one you wanted to talk about?
I want to talk about the one that won, that I voted for. I was going to go for Shellshock, but I voted for this. It was called Death of a Shadow. I did try to do a brief, awful synopsis to Brian on the Sunday, I believe. But I think this is one of the longest of the bunch. It's an academic short film, I think they're called, when they're around 20 minutes long instead of a regular whatever it is. I'm sure I learned that at university. Mm. Anyway, deceased soldier from the war again, and he must decide the fate of people by basically he decides how they die, and basically the more exciting their death, the better they look on film in a sense. And what he's got this weird camera that takes a photograph of their shadow as they die, because he can travel through time and all this kind of stuff, but he's got to take 100 of these before his own soul is free by this weird guy, bald-headed guy.
Yeah, it's like a collector. He collects the pictures.
Yeah, so he's got this huge gallery of all these photos where, I don't know, Greg Driver died in Leeds in the back alley by a beating. And that's like just a silhouette of his shadow that's passed. But it was really, really good. Yeah. And it almost, for me, felt like Hellboy. You know, like this, you know, in the Hellboy films where it's like the Nazis with these, like the technology and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like that.
It's got that kind of air around it.
Yeah, and it's really well shot, looks great, and I think it deserved to win. It's a German film as well, so.
Yeah.
I think you can find it online to watch online, that one.
I think most of them, they said, would be on YouTube, didn't they?
Yeah, and honestly, it was so good. I would highly recommend that. Death of a Shadow. And what was next?
Chimere.
Chimere. They had the director and the actress there. And I wasn't wild for this one.
It's French vampire film that was good until the end.
Yeah, it started as this like bit of a thriller, a bit of a psychological thriller, him not knowing whether he's a vampire or not, him not wanting to think he is.
Taking photos of himself in the bathroom mirror.
Taking photos of himself in the bathroom, baring his teeth, and I found it hilarious. And then at the end, it turns into Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, turns into a cross between Twilight and a revenge movie. Mm.
It was alright.
Yeah, it was
but
okay.
Because the director was there, the crowd went wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't clap the battery, but they clapped it because the director was there for this one, so got
it. Yeah, it was a polite thing, polite clap. They got the lead actress and the director, so it's like, yeah, we're better.
She's very attractive, the lead actress as well.
She is, yes.
Last film, which was, I wanted to talk about this anyway, was Big Bad Wolves.
Oh, yes.
Which was hilarious, because just before it started, we're walking past everyone in the thing. Greg's like, I'm really excited for a werewolf film. We didn't know much about it.
We hadn't thought much about it, and I, you know what? I'd actually read what this was going to be before we went to the festival. I knew what it was going to be, but somehow I got in my head that it was going to be a werewolf film.
I'm pleased I didn't say it. I would have felt stupid.
Yeah, I know, and I do feel like a massive idiot. But then again, when don't I? But yeah, it's just it was a.
Israeli
revenge thriller kind of thing.
Yeah. Kids are being murdered and molested by someone. The cops have this suspect. They're a bit brutal with him. a video goes viral, so they've got to let the guy out. It's only fair. And one of the children's grandfathers takes the law into his own hands, captures this guy, doesn't know whether he's guilty or innocent, and starts torturing him.
It's the dad, not the grandfather. He's an ex-cop.
And that's the grandfather.
No, it's the dad. He's the next cop. It's the grandfather that turns up with the suit later on.
All right, okay. Well, he looks old. Yeah, you're right. You're right. It does make more sense for it to be the father anyway.
Yeah.
But this was really damn good. It's like a dark comedy.
Yeah.
I think it works as a comedy as well as a serious.
Because it is kind of a comedy, really, isn't it?
In a weird way, but it still keeps a serious tone that, like, I was on edge throughout because, you know, kids are getting killed, whatever else, and it's good. Really good film. I think it was a good one to end out on.
Mm. There's some really, like, brutal torture scenes in it, but, like, the brutal torture scenes are sort of like, the sting gets taken out of them by the fact that there's this whole comedy line running through it, and you don't, you'd wince when you're watching things like, Hostel or whatever, but when you're watching this, it's just, you know, there's the whole funny side to it still, which is weird.
I think it would have made a great film had it just been serious. I think it would have been better than all the other Saw crap that's out there, but they decided to make it a dark comedy, which is fine, because it's really, really funny.
Mm.
Awkwardly funny at times, but that was The Day of the Dead, number 7. I will go next year.
I would, yeah, definitely go next year.
Any film you're intrigued about, Brian, that we mentioned?
No.
It's been elsewhere.
Battery was the one which I would have seen if
it's actually really good.
I would have considered seeing if I'd been there, but I was still on the train at the time.
Yeah, I'm sure you. I mean,
I was home by my own horror story. I was at Birmingham New Street train station. That's it.
Ooh, equally.
Elevators were broken.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Mm. Escalator. Sure. So yeah, battery. Check it out, Brian. I was telling Leon, a past guest, to watch that, because I think he would like it as well.
Yes.
Yeah, good day. Very good day.
Yeah, very good day indeed.
What you watched, Brian?
What I watched? Well, talking of comedy-laced horror, or horror-laced comedy, I watched the first episode of Eagle Heart Paradise Rising, which is the new Eagle Heart series, the third one, where they are basically, they've made a film, and then just cut it up into TV episode length segments, but they all, I'm based on the first one, they're all going to work as TV episodes as well. So basically, Chris Elliott's character at the start of it has accidentally killed Brett Gelman's character to write him out of the show for while he was filming the now cancelled sitcom Go On. And also, all sorts of other strange things are happening at the US Marshal's office. The chief is being slowly absorbed into the furniture of the office because he's too old.
That's life, isn't it?
And apparently there'll be some new marshals coming along. And then Chris starts getting blackmailed by this guy who says he knows what he did. But this guy, it turns out, just wanders around town all day saying, "I know what you did to people," until he catches one. He says some replies to him, and then when this guy goes back into his own house, it goes from widescreen into 4:3, and it's all lit like a TV play and acted like it's Death of a Salesman, or a TV production of Death of a Salesman or something. It's all very strange.
Is this all in the first episode?
This is all in the first episode. It's a double length episode, so it ran for half an hour this week.
God, it still seems like a lot squeezed.
Yeah, there was a whole thing about counterfeit money and drug deals as well. It's still very, very silly and ridiculous, and sort of all these vague elements of horror, like the chief being absorbed into the desk and the amount of gore which happens when Brett's character gets killed. Which is a callback to the very first episode of Eagle Heart, because it showed, the very first episode was all about Chris Elliott's character and showing how he always killed his partners by accident. By doing these ridiculous fighting styles.
Do you know what it sounds a bit like when you describe it? Garth Marenghi's Dark Place?
It does have elements of that, particularly when it will switch to specific genre parodies, which is something it does quite well.
Yeah.
the tone between episodes can be completely different. But it, yeah, it's generally high quality. I highly recommend the first two series, and this one looks just as good. And the other thing I watched, I've been catching up on DD, Fist of the North Star, before we do our year-end episode, so I can justly give it the props it deserves.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the episode where Failsa had opened a English language cram school for children. Which just had, it's the most amount of jokes I've seen in anime taking the mickey out of the way Japanese have difficulty pronouncing English words. It's just so much of it all the way through. And also some very good English spoken as well by one character who appears to be a man dressed as Excalibur from Soul Eater.
Which guy is Excalibur from Soul Eater?
He's the sword. He's the British sword who has got the ridiculously huge ego and no one wants to use the sword because he's just the most obnoxious person in the world.
Oh, he probably came in well. Oh, him! Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just Google him. He was in when I watched it.
What, yes.
I saw that show.
Yeah, that's what I watched this week. But the other thing I watched is our weekly retro recap, Licensed by Royalty Episode 3.
Mm.
Let me see if I can remember what happened. Well, they had to take a failed candidate for this missing 15-year-old princess back to Ivory Island, which totally isn't Ireland, from the country where they live, which is totally not the United Kingdom. And so they take her on this train journey. There's some guys causing, well, just being rude. So
yeah, they're not doing anything.
No, they're not doing anything.
They shouldn't be eavesdropping.
Just being rude. They're trying to avoid the paparazzi, basically. This is why they've been sent to take her. And then you learn sort of the state that Ivory Island's in. There's some sort of political stuff going on about this ivory stone mining contracts. And then she runs away from them because she's trying to earn money to repair their clock tower. And that is pretty much it. We should mention that she also has a monkey.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's about all that happens, isn't it?
I'm pleased you agree that nothing happens because I thought I was missing something. Because I just felt this...
There's a sort of a Beatles pastiche song.
Oh, yeah. I've got to mention that, yeah.
Which
I love the soundtrack.
I think they played the entirety of.
Mm.
And I wonder if the train station bit was that specifically. I was going to look it up, but I can't remember which one of those Beatles films has got the train.
Hard Day's Night.
Like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I like that film. I've got a DVD.
But was that specifically referencing
I can
that?
See why it would be, but... I mean...
Or whether it was just the Beatles pastiche had already put it in my
head. I think it might
Beatles
have just been
my head.
Yeah. Possibly. I don't know how I feel about this show anymore. I'm wanting to... it needs something to happen. It needs a story that's not just... Like, it needs an ongoing narrative that isn't these little one-offs. And this one was terrible.
I believe this is the start of the ongoing narrative.
Oh, really?
Yes.
The girl in it, she has the worst clock ever. It's a little Big Ben. But it is so... It's a little Big Ben, but it's still very big. And yeah. It's not very practical as a clock.
Right, so sort of a... What an, I don't know who... What it's more of a watch, isn't it?
It is, but...
It only has one hand as well, which even makes it less practical.
Exactly. What do you tell? Is that the minute? I expect it's the hour hand, surely.
Yeah, because they asked her about it, and she didn't answer. She just told the bell she wound it up.
Yeah, she shakes it. Yeah. There's not a lot going on. Do I give up or not? What do you feel, Brian?
I enjoyed it, but then again, there wasn't much going on.
I enjoyed it, but didn't we say we were going to base this off the episode that we'd all...
Yes.
That we'd saw previously.
Yes. Based on this episode. So based on this episode... If you assume that the next episode is going to be more of the same, do you want to watch any more of it?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay, yes. Let's watch episode 4.
Because I'm willing to, like, I want to love this.
You may have a break. We may not do it next week. Next week's maybe a special episode.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds good.
Let's see. But yes, let's watch episode 4. Who knows? It might.
That was literally on a...
Kick into high gear. The monkey was pretty cheeky. Let's give him that.
It was cheap. It was there for cheap laughs.
That's fine by me. A monkey sticking his hand in a cup of tea.
I felt a bit sorry for it when he got the glass hit on its head. she boxed this wine glass on its head.
What's he doing on the table? Accidental. He had his own seat. He should have stayed on the table.
Yeah, what more did he want? True.
I bet they didn't even get the monkey a ticket.
Well, it's like a small child. It's like a baby. You don't buy a ticket for a baby. Well, depending on where it is, but... I'll stick with it. I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. We've watched worse stuff.
We have, yes.
So that's...
This is perfectly pleasant. Who knows, we might get another Beatles pastiche song.
It's Christmas. I'm in a good mood. So...
Oh, let's see how long that mood lasts as we... look back over the films we saw at the Leeds Film Festival Anime Day. So we saw 6 films, 5 of which we'll talk about because one's already had its own podcast. And so the first thing we saw was Makoto Shinkai's Garden of Words, a film which is luckily only 45 minutes long.
It's the touching love story of a foot fetishist and an alcoholic teacher that can only taste chocolate and beer.
It sounds awful.
Yes, and she's accused of being a paedophile, and by the end she is.
Yep.
But they managed to somehow sugarcoat the
paedophilia.
At least for me, that part at the end, it's still quite sweet, whereas if you look beyond that, it's awful.
Because he fancies the teacher, but I'm not sure if she fancies him or if it's just like, if when she goes and hugs him, if it's just like a friend thing.
She kisses him, doesn't she?
I thought
a passionate kiss.
I thought she just gave him a massive hug.
Yeah. Oh, well, I like to think
we're spoiling the end of this boring film anyway.
If anything, it was an exercise in how to draw water really well. Because that's probably the only thing.
That's the thing. It looks good.
Yeah.
But you might as well look at a photograph. It won't last as long.
Yeah.
Like, I want to meet fans of Makoto Shinkai. I'm sure they're going to speak in, like, slow motion or something. Because this, honest to God, felt
like 3
an hour and a half. I want to know how the guy does it. If he ever does a Q&A, I don't want to ask about the animation. I don't want to ask his thought process. Just how he makes a short story feel like a week long and...
Lack of anything happening. I could see Brian sitting there, like, clenching his fists. Just like...
just waiting to snap.
That was me resisting checking how long it had been running for.
Oh, see, I should stop wearing a watch in the cinema. Because that's...
Yeah, my watch is my mobile phone, so it would have been obvious if I was checking mine.
Yeah.
And glare at him to upset people who might have been enjoying it.
I've decided, Brian, as well, I meant to mention this, you've got a drug dealer's mobile phone. It's like, because Greg's phone.
Hey,
Brian,
Anthony, I have 2, so you make it look even more like...
If anyone's seen anything where a drug guy is kind of calling someone and then bins this old phone...
Like a disposable phone?
Yeah, that is Brian's phone.
Yeah, my other phone was a £10 Nokia.
Can you tweet? I think I've asked you this before.
I can, yes. I tweeted Greg today on it.
Oh, technology.
See, my phone is this all singing, all dancing Samsung S4, but I smashed the screen, so...
I treat mine well. I just want to mention that, but...
Yeah, if you want to buy me a smartphone, go ahead. I only replace phones when they stop working.
Reminds me, actually. I paid for cover, so now I've smashed the screen. I must get that sorted, but yeah.
And something else I want to mention about this as well. I know the guy, he makes shoes.
Yes.
That's got to be the most boring hobby.
Well, no, he's like, he's not interested in academic stuff. He wants to go and do his vocational course.
Yeah, he likes feet.
Yes.
But he could have made hats.
Yeah, he likes feet, and he likes making feet pretty.
Yes.
Well,
remember, we get the explanation because him and his brother bought his mum a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
And he was fascinated by the shoes when he was a kid.
Mm.
And that's why he wants to make shoes now as a 15-year-old.
Okay, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. Maybe I'm just criticizing. I think it's his best of what we've watched for
of the,
this.
Of
or
the
what
two watched. We've watched, yes.
Yeah.
What, is this only the set? No, this is the third.
This is only the second thing we've done on the podcast of his.
Did Believe he do me. Something in the Halo Legends thing?
No. No.
I'm pretty sure he's not done.
If he's done anything, it's not been in Halo Legends.
If he did do Halo Legends, it'd just be Cortana standing there for 20 minutes.
I'm sure we have. Yeah, so Voice of a Distant Star is what we did.
Yes, that's it. That's all we've done. I've made sure we've not done anything else.
That is so strange because I feel as though I've seen so much more.
I mean, I've started watching some of his other things, but believe me, they're not going to be on this podcast.
Did we not watch 5 centimeters per second?
No.
I feel like I've been fed this.
The only thing I've liked is a gathering of cats, which he did, and that's a minute long.
I know how he makes.
Does he make
so
it feel
long.
Like half an hour?
I've worked it out, Askew. I know how he makes him so long because in between each scene, there's the like some sort of like hypnosis, and he feeds you his other films.
That's why it was so dark when we left the cinema.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm sure. Obviously, we haven't, but I thought it was a Shinkai aficionado. I thought I knew his work. Clearly not. Oh, well. Okay.
Halo Legends.
I could have seen it before. There's someone in there who's got a very similar sound and name.
Another Japanese guy, ask you. Is that how this is going?
I'm not implying that. I'm sure there's another guy who... I don't think I'm going to be able to...
Anyway, let's move on to something more enjoyable. So after that, we had Hal, another short film. This one running 50 minutes.
When a loved one dies, get a creepy better version of him.
So this is a film by Ryotaro Makihara, produced by... Is it Studio Wits, the Attack on Titan folks?
IG.
Wit Studio.
Wit, did you say?
Studio Wit, yeah, Wit Studio.
Well, I was drinking Dr. Wit's fruit juice. Greg.
Dr. Wit.
Oh, I heard that word Wit and it brought flashbacks. Completely off topic. And we're not even going to go into the details. It's very strong fruit juice that instantly upsets your stomach because it's so pure. Right, sorry.
Now, I thought this was a great film up until the last 5 minutes when it turns out they were lying to you at the start.
No, they haven't been lying.
They just didn't make it clear.
Yeah. At the time when you said, oh, that's unfair, I think it was one of you two said, well, I didn't do
it
right now.
Yeah, it was Brian.
It was unfair. But the way it's... I don't want to give it away because I think it was the best part of the film.
Well, I don't want to give it away either. But I want to watch it again to double check what they say at the start. But I'm pretty certain what they say at the start isn't what they say at the end, and therefore they were lying to us at the start of the film.
I'm sure it is very well disguised.
I think it's pretty ambiguous at the start, and you assume for the whole film.
Oh, I don't think it's ambiguous at all.
Well, it's very Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
I'm not saying why. But you can probably guess why now.
Well, we can say what the
yeah. Yeah.
We can it say what the story's about. No, we're not going to spoil the ending, but we say what the story is. Is that a robot who's called Q01?
Yeah.
Something like that is asked to replace this Hal who died on a aircraft explosion to help.
Which Greg was at the toilet for, and he come back. He says, "What have I missed?"
And you went, "A plane blowing up."
Yeah.
To help bring Hal's girlfriend sort of back into the community. And so, yeah, this robot along with this doctor go to the town and sort of help Karumi out in all sorts of ways, which the instructions on how to help her are all on Rubik's Cubes.
Which is a nice touch. I think it's I don't think I've seen much like that before. There probably is stuff like that, but I thought it was interesting, this kind of journey, this...
So I thought it was going to be some sort of Robot and Frank type thing about sort of caring for people using robots.
That Robin Williams film, Bicentennial Man.
I was thinking of a good film. You go ahead and think of Bicentennial Man. And then once you said that, I was like, oh, imagine this dubbed with, Robin Williams doing.
Doing which voice though?
I mean, the most inappropriate one, yes, Hal's voice.
No, I mean, but I mean, voice is Robin Williams doing? Is he doing Genie?
No, he's just doing the standard Robin Williams voice, which means loads of voices.
He's doing his Mrs.
Some of them possibly racist.
Doing his Mrs. Doubtfire voice.
If only. Great fun. But I like this, you know.
I still liked it. I got less annoyed at the ending as time passed. But at the time, I was like, oh, what are you doing to me? Lying to me at the start of the film.
I want to know what their reasoning was for putting this alongside Garden of Words.
They're short.
I thought, was it a double pack? Yeah.
They both fit into 2 hours.
They wanted to...
So they're basically going to sell one ticket for the two films, and you get a two-hour slot. I think that's basically the reason.
Good value then.
It's the same reason they give you cheese at a wine taster session or whatever, I don't know. Something like that.
It's the same reason they give you the barrel to spit it in. So you have to go on the words, spit that out, and you have a nice one with that.
Yeah. It's like doing a chaser.
But it was alright. I was jealous of Greg going to the toilet when he did, because I was busting for that entire...
See, I just could not hold it, man. I'd had that whole bottle of water when I was watching Garden of Words, and I've been sat down for what felt like 3 hours.
Imagine if we both went, because Brian doesn't strike me as a person you could interrupt. So you whispered to Brian, what's happened?
He'd punch me in the face.
You would turn away.
Anyway.
You wouldn't know what happened.
This isn't dynamite in the bladder. Let's move on to the next film. So what marks did you give those? Because we had to mark the pair of them together. So I give them 3, I think.
I think I ended up in agreement with you about it.
I give a 3 on the whole as well.
Yeah.
It's unfair you had to mark them together. I think that's unfair on Hal.
Yeah, because I would have given Garden of Words 2.
Yeah.
And Hal is probably close to a 4 for the last 5 minutes. Ooh. Because, the other thing about Hal is it's got some really great animation on some old ladies. There's some really good animated
on. Yeah, there's some funny scenes with the old women.
Yeah, lots of the side characters look good. But those grannies have got some pretty great character designs. Some of them look like they've walked out of the Beano.
Yeah.
Okay, on to Petit Inverted, which at this point, based on the email I got from Leeds Film Festival... Today is number 11 in their top 20 films of the festival.
Really?
Yeah, the only one out of this anime day, which is in there.
They didn't email me. Oh, then again, I didn't boot the tickets.
No.
Okay.
Bloody-ho.
Never mind, sorry.
Yeah, so someone else describe what this film's about.
Scientists mess with something they shouldn't mess with, and they break gravity, and lots of people get sucked into the sky. Some people are still affected by this and end up having to live underground because that's the only way they can stand on the surface, by standing under it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And then a girl comes out of the hole between the two worlds, meets a boy, they fall in love, all sorts of other shenanigans involving the thinly veiled North Korea.
South Korea.
allegory which is going on in the film.
It's this whole, like, basically, she comes up from under the ground and she discovers the backwards world, basically. And she's like, I'm falling into the sky. And it's really cute, and at the same time, it's like, it's got this whole science fiction thing.
It's pretty good as a one idea science fiction thing.
Yeah.
And you have to keep on thinking, okay, which way's up in this particular scene?
Yeah.
I was frightened, I kid you not, because, and this, I know this sounds totally ridiculous and sounds like made it up, but there was times I was thinking, ooh, imagine that really happened. Imagine I stepped off this chair and just started flying up into the roof. And it really does make you think.
Yeah.
I was constantly having to, think, ooh, don't step off that. And I was like, no, they can step off that. They're the right side up.
It's a
good premise. Great premise.
It's a film I'd recommend to people with a solid phobia of heights.
Or falling. Fear of falling as well.
Oh, God, yeah.
Heights and holds.
Yeah.
I was disappointed by it, though. I was disappointed in some ways because on the promo image that I saw, you only see, is it Patima or Patima?
Patima.
Is it Patima? Patima. Oh, right, okay. Well, that character, she's in her underground world. It's very futuristic looking. It's got like this,
it's like a mine.
Yeah, it's like a mine in some places, whereas other bits look a lot more like lit up, and I don't know, it looks nice, whereas the other world, the people who can stand normally, they, I don't know, it's all the grass, it's dull, it's very boring, I've seen it all before, yeah. It's not very imaginative.
It's a grassy hill in a cabin for most of it, isn't it?
Exactly. So, I wish we'd seen more of Patmer's world than what we did. Yeah. The other people, the bad people, or whatever you want
what
to call
them. What was the
them.
Name of the other character? Purple head.
He didn't have purple head.
The male, is it, AG?
That's it.
AG, that's right, yeah. That's right. But, it was good. It was good, and I think a very good idea that they executed well.
Hmm. It's directed by, Yasuhiro Yoshiura, which I think people know mostly nowadays from Eve No Jikan, Time of Eve.
Mm.
I think I got a Kickstarter recently for a release. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. Maybe a little too long, if I had to criticise it at all.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the first, not necessarily the first part of the film, but when she first goes into the, when she's having age or AG or whatever he's called, try and get her food and stuff. I feel like they drag that little bit out so long when she's sat in the hut.
It's the whole, yeah. Like, getting, it's supposed to be sort of getting across to you how scary it must be to have that as the only place you can stand. Like, that's your only island in a whole, because they do talk about that, don't they? Like, how frightened you must be to not actually have anywhere to stand. And, you know, you do have, like, when you watch it, you do get sweaty palms at moments where...
I agree, yeah. 100%. And when it took, because when it revealed that, like, that part of it, I was like, oh, this has been like this all along, and it's done so well. I wouldn't have guessed.
Fantastic.
I agree.
And
good stuff.
Of the new stuff, because there's two films I don't necessarily count as new stuff, but of the new stuff, it's my favourite.
I think the next one's my favourite.
Oh,
I should also say he's got a great, mad, starry-eyed villain as well.
Yeah.
Which, you know, really early on, he has this mad stare into the camera in his very first scene, and you go, he's the bad guy.
He's got the crazy eye. Definitely.
I thought he touched
how long before they do a live action of this? There you go. I could see live action people, Hollywood, I should say, picking this up.
Infinity, hopefully.
The premise, I feel it's got a lot of mileage.
Yeah, because all it requires really is one effect idea.
I can see the Hollywood version of it, and I can see the trailer with the tum, 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 and the casual eye movie.
I don't know.
They're doing trailers where they put words up as they do the beat, whatever. And it'll be which way is up. And then you'll get, like, Brad Pitt going flying into the sky or something.
I'm on board. I want to see it. I like your marketing campaign for it. It's, I think, on for a winner. Why Brad Pitt?
And then as he flies up, he'll scream, Patama! Like that. And then it will just go the title of the film across the screen. Cinemas 2015.
Oh, trailer sounds, I like it.
Okay, let's move on to the worst thing I saw this weekend.
Oh, come on.
Steins Gate, the movie. I believe it's got some ridiculous subtitle as well.
I don't think it did. Steins Gate the Great, I think it was...
What's it called? Yeah, Steins Gate the Movie, Loading Area of Deja Vu.
Steins Gate the Movie, The Agonizing Slog.
This was a long hour and a half.
It wasn't.
I want it back.
Take it back. No. Which way is up? I don't want to tackle the synopsis, but it looks like nobody else is daring.
Well, let's just say for a start, it's a direct sequel to the TV series.
Yeah.
Which is a disadvantage to begin with. Because I started watching the TV series, I thought the idea behind it was clever, but I thought the characters were super annoying. So this movie does away with the idea of the TV series and just leaves you with the annoying characters.
It's for the first 45 minutes at least. Then it's a lot less.
It's got fan fiction written all over it. And it's just... Oh.
It does. What was I thinking? Oh. Right, so... There's this group of friends who are... They, like, do inventions.
Mad science, apparently. And they also drink mad amounts of Dr. Pepper.
That's true. And one of the group... I don't know where she's been. I don't know whether this is relevant to the series.
On a plane, apparently.
Yeah, to somewhere else, to another country. And she comes back, and there's like this little kind of romance with her and the main doctor, who I can't remember his name. I can't remember any of these characters' names at all.
Made an impact on you.
Yeah.
It did. And basically, he starts disappearing in their timeline, and she's... panicking, and she's trying to go back in time to remember who he is, in a sense, and remind others who he is, because people start forgetting who he is. He just disappears. And it goes on like that for a while. And now, at this point, once it's got past this annoying dynamic between the group with this fat otaku guy who's a...
Can I just interject? It doesn't go get ahead. Past that ever. It doesn't ever get past that.
It does.
He's there in the background all the time, doing his annoying otaku stereotype thing, and then there's like...
He is a frustrating
really
character, though he does
fat
have a bit...
voice.
Yeah.
ooh,
eye contact in yakisoba.
That's pretty good. I'm sure if I could speak Japanese, that's how it would sound in my head. It's obviously would be translated. I know it doesn't work like that, but... Anyway, there is a funny bit where he's sending photographs to a girl, and she's quite an attractive girl, and... in the film, and she asks, oh, what picture did you send of yourself? And there's this, like, really tight close-up of his face.
Like a proper selfie.
Yeah, and that made me... I laughed out loud.
Yeah, we should point out this is in the first 5 minutes. It's all downhill from there.
Yeah, I would agree for the... First 5 minutes is good, it's amusing, then it goes downhill for a while, then as soon as the character starts disappearing, or the one character down, it gets a bit more interesting. Then they start bringing time travel in and kind of this cause and effect theory, very loosely, I'll admit. And then somebody turns up from the future who insists that, oh, you've got to keep up with this time travel, it'll, you know, I don't know why, she doesn't say, and... That's it.
It's when they build the time machine that the small hole in my care bucket suddenly becomes the bottom falling out of it. And I just couldn't handle it.
The worst thing is at the end that I thought, you know what? I could watch this series. And then since returning home, away from the film festival, back to real life, I thought, there's far better things I could watch than time travel.
So many better things to do with my time. I could
watch Quantum Leap. You know what? That's good.
Yeah.
But seriously, I'm a sucker for time travel. Anything like that is good. And I think when they start employing that into the story, I mean, to be honest, it's not that hard to mess up. You know, someone's disappearing. Let's go back to when he was still there to see him again. He disappears again.
Mm.
So I guess it wasn't that hard to mess up. But I felt they did an alright job.
They did. I know there's a series preceding it, but like, if anything to me, because I've only ever seen the film just felt like an advert for how to take a good concept and do it badly.
Mm. Well, the series, everyone dies, apparently. Or at least everyone. And I know you see clips of that in the film, and then obviously with whatever timeline that they're part of, whatever Steins Gate, which I still don't know what it is, I still don't know what a Steins Gate is.
Something to do with the timelines converging and...
Yeah.
It's like being able to jump between timelines. I think you use Steins Gate to jump between timelines, or that'd be logical.
I'm sure they'd have a very boring explanation with that otaku guy.
Yeah.
And the mad doctor. Choking over fizzy pops and trying to explain.
Whilst playing his dating sims.
Yeah.
It wasn't the worst film.
It was. It was so boring. So boring. I was really struggling at the end to,
That got my Rotten Tomatoes.
Tom Hardy went to see it.
No, he did not. Living in your fantasy world. You
so, did so did Paddy Kirk. So did Paddy Kirk.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so I give this 1 out of 5 on the voting.
That is harsh. I give it a
3. I think this is the worst thing I've seen at a film festival.
The worst film, one of the worst animated films I've seen, full stop, I think, for me. I mean, maybe it would have had more context if I'd have seen the series, but I don't even want to watch the series after watching it. It's just...
If I'd have been watching this elsewhere, if I hadn't paid for a ticket, if I wasn't in a room, it would have been off within 5 minutes. I'll be honest, but...
You liked it because you paid cold hard cash to see it.
I liked it as soon as it started, have an actual story rather than this guy drinking Dr. Pepper and goofing around.
It was, at the beginning, I had a hard time figuring out, like, so what's supposed to be happening? It's just obnoxious stereotypes chatting together in a room. And it's like...
Well, but bear in mind, listeners, Greg fell asleep in every film.
I didn't fall asleep in every
Greg was
film.
Dozing off in every film, and he definitely fell asleep in this one.
I didn't.
I've seen his head bobbing.
I stayed awake in Steins Gate.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I didn't fall asleep in every film. I sort of, like, my eyes were closing because I'm in a darkened room and I've been sat there for...
You're too scared to fall asleep during Steins Gate. It might have bored you into a coma.
Yeah, exactly. I might have never woke up.
You wake up and it's the start of the film again.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
That was Steins Gate.
Avoid.
I wake up in a landfill of Steins Gate DVDs.
So, next up was Evangelion 3.0. Which, Steins Gate was somehow boring me still 2 days after us watching this. My opinion of this film has gone down in the 3 days
Agreed.
Since I've seen it.
Agreed.
Yeah. There's reasons why it I mean, I really liked it because I'm an Evangelion fan, but there's reasons why it sucked a little bit.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of it. So anyway, completely going off the plot now from the TV series. Masato has become Captain Nemo and is riding around on the back of a giant whale, which is actually somehow Unit 01.
Aptly named Wonder. If that's the right.
Is that Wonder? No,
it's not.
Wonder. Yeah.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Is it? Oh, right.
Okay. Yes. But, yeah, before we get to that, though, they've... apparently Unit 01 and Shinji had been put in a coffin in space, which was shaped like a double crucifix. So they bring that back, use it to fire up this giant whale creature, and we discover they're part of this organisation called Wile.
Willy.
No, it's the...
Or Wily. Is it Wily?
It's Willy.
I don't think they pronounce it Willy in the thing. Because I was listening to that, because I was like, I'm going to so call it Willy when we talk about it.
What's your job? I work for Willy.
So we get a whole load of new characters. Shinji is given an explosive neck thing because...
Battle Royale style.
Yeah. Yes, that's what happens in these things.
He can't be trusted with anything, Shinji. He's like... Oh.
And we discover that 14 years have passed, but all the pilots have inexplicably stayed the age they were, because otherwise they wouldn't be able to sell merchandise off them.
What do you call the woman who... Obviously not Masato, the other one, the one with the short blonde hair now.
The XO.
Yeah, she looks better.
It's not even clear that it is. Is it supposed to be Ritsuko? It's the same voice.
They say the name, I'm sure. She's got the mole as well.
They don't call her Ritsuko.
No, I think they just call her XO the entire film.
Well, she looks great, considering... Well, so does Masato.
But yeah, I was pretty sure it was the same. Yeah, because it was the same voice. It was
like, Masato's all battle-hardened and wears sunglasses constantly.
Yeah, she looks pretty epic, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they don't... so it's basically... This is one thing I love, which is good, is that it's now the opposite of Evangelion at this point, where Evangelion... In the TV series, they're always trying to make Shinji do things. And at this point, Wily's operation is to tell Shinji not to do anything.
And to put an explosive collar on his neck. So if he tries to do anything, he dies. Pops. Yeah.
But yeah, then Ray turns up and, whisks him away back to Nerve. It's revealed that while they're at war with Nerve and the planet is all absolutely effed up due to the ending of the previous movie.
It's a big red mess.
And then we go to Nerve headquarters, where apparently Nerve staff, now with the arrival of Shinji, now numbers 5.
Yeah.
I'd love to be at their Christmas party. God.
Play the piano again.
I was going to say, at least it'd be a good live band.
Playing renditions of Last Christmas on the piano.
Chaz and Dave songs.
Yeah.
I do like the piano scene, because what's it, Kaoru? Kaoru?
Kaoru.
Yeah.
He's there.
He's there. He's probably the best bit in the film. The bit with him and Shinji, I think.
Yeah.
Are probably the best scenes. Oh, and the scene with, the guy who's, I can never remember. Gendel's right hand man.
Oh, yeah.
I like that scene as well between him and Shinji. Was there ever a scene like that in the TV series? It's so long.
Where they're playing like a chess or a
I don't know.
Actually. No, I don't think they're.
I don't think
it feels like a scene that should have been.
Yeah.
Where he explains the plot.
Yeah.
And now, Shinji, allow me to explain what's happening.
This is not for the benefit of the viewers at home at all.
Just for you, Shinji.
People... I don't understand that. Everyone I know who saw this when it was, you know, came out illegally and all that jazz, like, oh my god, it's so confusing. I don't think this was confusing.
No, it's
at
not
all.
Confusing, it's shit.
All you need to know is everything's a mess and everything is eventually going to become a bigger mess.
But it spoon feeds you everything.
Yeah.
It's 14 years later. It's, this is him, this is her now, and we're at war with these, and we don't want you to pilot that, and it's spoon fed.
We've got to take these two spears out of this body. And that spear's not the spear I was expecting.
Yeah.
And Gendel's up to something.
Up to something big.
Yes.
And if it wasn't going to spoon feed you, though, it may as well have been the strange colour of your body's tears.
Yeah, true.
But, yes, the problem is it's not the Gainax of old. And there is some really bad CG in this film.
I didn't pick up on this that these two did. These two... Hawks with their CGI radars. I didn't pick up on it.
Oh.
I know you mentioned blocks, but...
Yeah. Right, there's a scene where they go through a certain seal and there's all purple blocks go flying into it, but they're not even like, there's no texture on them, they're just purple cubes.
Yeah, and, but see, I think that's intended.
Maybe it is intentional, but... It
doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that's not a justification, or it's meant to look shit.
And there's a bit early on when you see this, you see the Wunder, and the Wunder's got a great design, but it's not lit well in its CG modelling, and when you see it flying off with its sort of anti-gravity wave that's picked all these other boats, and the background is just these two colours, red and blue. it's like something you do in GIMP or something. You put the, get your wand where you want to merge the two colours together.
It's a Microsoft visualisation from the media player.
Or it's a screensaver.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
The screensaver with the pipes.
Yes. Yeah. It's about that level of texture and colouring.
I love the scene in the, I forget what it's meant to be. Is it Adam or something? I missed part two of these three films. So.
Are you talking about Lilith or are you talking about the other?
Lilith. They call it Lilith. Lilith's human
beings.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's Lilith then.
Yeah.
And where all the skulls are on the ground. So it's Terminator World.
Yeah.
I like that fight scene with Asuka and Shinji.
That's a nice fight scene.
I was excited at that point. I was like, yes! And then I remembered it. When I finished, I was like, yeah, that was good. And I remembered how I'm not too crazy for Evangelion. It's alright, but
yeah.
I feel I'm past it.
Yeah, I'm not really sure I want to be bothered watching the fourth film.
Oh, I definitely want to, go back and watch number two, but people are still going, I've still got friends on Facebook who go crazy for this.
You see, I like Evangelion, I'm an Ava fan. I'm not like hardcore diehard Ava fan, but I like it enough to, you know, be interested and stuff. But I don't, you know, you can talk about it, but there's a limit to how long you can talk about it.
Well, I don't think that there's a sociably unacceptable limit, but people can rabbit on about this.
Yeah. I don't know how they're going to be able to rabbit on about this film, though, because, like, not much happens in it, really. There's only, like, three things happen.
Did I say to you, Brian, on Sunday, actually, that it was almost the second film again?
He didn't, but yeah, it kind of. I think there's more in the second film than this.
Yeah.
And it's like you introduce Mary in the second film, and then all she does here is she is four-eyed crony as
Oscar Pearson.
Oscar Pearson.
I like her character,
though. And she calls Oscar the princess, or Your Highness, or something, doesn't she?
Yeah.
I like Oscar's eye patch that she has.
Yeah.
Anything with an additional eye patch is always good.
That's how they made you look badass, because apparently you don't age when you pilot an Ava, so you get a badass eye patch instead.
Is the next film the last one?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
See, they're going to really need to have to up the game. I enjoyed this, it was alright, but they're going to have to be like, right, people are going to want this to be amazing, let's do it.
There's a million things they could have shown, as well as Ava, instead of Steins Gate and stuff like that, I just wanted to mention. They could have put
me. I agree. I'm pleased I got a chance to see this, because I've kind of dodged around seeing the second one, which I've still not even seen properly. So it may encourage me to watch it.
I'd watch the fourth one if it was part of a day like this again, but I'm not going to go out and buy a ticket specifically to see it.
I think I'm likely to go and watch the fourth one, just, and then I've seen it all, and I might buy them all, because I've got the first one on Blu-ray, so I might buy the set, because I do like Evangelion, but yeah, it's not the best.
So, yeah, and then there was Akira, which is Akira. It still is Akira.
Oh, what?
And it looks really good on a big screen.
Yeah.
And the sound was incredible. I couldn't believe the sound. Like, hearing songs, I mentioned at the time, the songs in that film that I knew there was music there, but whenever I've watched it, it hasn't played as big of a part, but because you're in a cinema, because the sound is booming, it's like, wow, the soundtrack's great. Yeah. It does.
And there's little bits of the film I hadn't really noticed before, I think because you're watching it in the cinema, that's all you're doing is watching this film for 2 hours, 10 minutes.
And it's on the bigger screen, so I noticed a lot. So I can't remember, there was something, I was like, oh wow. I should have made a note, mental note, but I forgot. There was some weird, say again, sorry, Graham?
Was it the bit I noticed with the Cylons?
Oh yeah, there was the Cylons were a big part.
Yeah, Greg had to suffer, hadn't he, talking about Cylons the entire weekend, whereas I only had to deal with it occasionally on the Sunday.
between films. But, it's weird because this felt half the length of everything else. Maybe not half the length, but this felt a lot. Obviously it's well paced, it's Akira, but it shows how important pacing is in a film. When you see the other bunch, maybe not Evangelion 3 too much because, you know, I feel like that was paced as well as it could be.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for all its faults, yeah, it never felt it was dragging.
Yeah.
It wasn't
going. Whereas, obviously, Akira, it's like, no matter how many times I see it, I know what's coming next. I can break that film scene by scene. I know what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, but it still doesn't feel like a chore. And people were laughing awkwardly. People were laughing at things that were being said. That aren't meant to be funny in Akira.
It's like, that must be that. I was sat there, I remember saying to you that is this like, it could have been their like first watch or something. And,
that's true, that's true. But there was a line where, I'm sure it was Canadian, he says, oh, you can't kill Tetsuo, it's up to us to kill him. Ha 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 ha. What's funny about that?
Yeah, I know.
What's funny?
Might have been the delivery, maybe.
Well, possibly, but it's not meant to be funny. Then there was people laughing at Evangelion. Different lines where, okay, we'll get the idea. You've seen the series. We know this isn't how it happens in the series, but you don't have to chuckle at everything that's a bit different.
I think, well, they were chuckling at all the gay
in when... Yeah, there was bits that were supposed to be laughed at.
Oh, yes. Peter went wild for that. The two dudes to the right of me were holding hands in that scene.
There was fangirls sat there typing away on their laptops, already writing their fanfics. You know.
No, deleting what they've already got.
Yeah. Because they'd have written fanfics after the original series, but they're going away again, you know.
It was a good day.
Yeah.
I don't think it was as good as last year.
No, certainly not.
That was hard to beat, to be fair.
I think it was better, well, the year before I didn't go, but the year before
it was definitely better.
Yeah, but I don't think they even had a day the year before.
Not as good as last year, I don't think. But yeah, I'll agree. It was good. And like, as I said, that my favourite of the new stuff was Pattern Inverted, because I don't count Evangelion and Akira, because they're kind of like stalwart. That's like going to a festival and saying your favourite band was the headliner that you've got all the t-shirts for, because let's face it, you know, you're gonna love them.
I agree. I think a word of advice to us all for next year, we will be there. Bring an extra coat, because that way we can leave our coat on the good seats in the hour-long break when we go to get food.
Aye.
So even as cheap coat, just because yeah. Every time we go back after the break, I know we've only done it twice, but we've had to sit elsewhere. And I like those seats with the big...
Just get a blanket. Bring a blanket and put it across three seats.
A tent.
We'll bring a dynamite in the brain flag and just lay it.
Oh, we'll come back, it'll be burnt.
Bring my one piece beach towel.
bring your beach towels.
It was a good day. I mean, I can't remember what was so last year that made last year so much. I know Tiger and Bunny.
Asherah, the two films, Tiger and Bunny. What was the other things?
Oh, what was it?
Oh, Wolf Children. That was it.
Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing that made it right, better than anything which was shown this year.
Wolf Children and what else? Yeah, that's actually, yeah, that's still the best, I think.
So that, like, that year, I know I'm speaking like I go every single year, but last year was, like, so much stronger. Not that it was too bad this year.
I think the strength of the animals with Wolf Children was the big strength. And I think also having Asherah, which is something that hasn't been shown anywhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
It was all well-paced stuff as well. It was all, like, new stuff and then stuff that was actually, like, you could watch it standalone.
Mm. It helped that I'm a Berserk fan and a Tiger and Bunny fan.
Yeah.
So, had I been a Steins;Gate fan, I would have went crazy.
Yes, if you remember, I wasn't the biggest fan of those Berserk films. But
I liked Berserk.
But yeah, so there were some notable things which could have been shown and weren't shown, but I assume there are reasons. Yeah. But hey, who knows? Maybe they'll show up next year on Dynamite in the Brain as podcast episode topics.
Additionally, I want to mention the guy who was standing up in front of Akira, in front of Greg and Akira.
Oh my god.
And Greg, I've never seen Greg so annoyed.
He was standing there and he was talking to his mate who was sat down, and he was standing there taking his coat off really slowly, right in my view. I've seen Akira before, but I've not seen it on the big screen before, and I've not seen it looking that pretty.
Oh, is that guy who made somebody move
out
of the seat he wanted to sit in?
Yeah, him. Yeah.
Oh, is that what he did?
Yes.
I've seen Greg flip him off. I thought, Greg!
It's like, I was getting so annoyed, and he was clearly, you know, like, he was clearly not being considerate. He was standing directly in front of me, and he was, you know, he was getting on my nerves. So I was just like, sit down, please, you know.
No, you weren't sitting there. You're like, dude, for F's sake.
Yeah.
And I was smiling. He was probably a Cylon. Everyone else was Cylon.
Oh, God, Bennett. Where are you going to get obsessed with something else?
No disrespect to the fella, but he could have sat down faster.
Oh, you can say no disrespect to Cylon.
No disrespect to Anthony, but will you shut the fuck up about Cylons?
Oh, going out of my system, man. Oh, the guy at work I told him to watch, and I discussed it with him as well. It's Grace. God. Just you wait, Brian. 10 years down the line, you'll be
sat
down.
You know what? We were on the Friday, and like every member of bar staff he bought a drink from, he had a conversation.
I think he bought a drink from.
No, bought a drink from. Okay. He had a conversation about Battlestar Galactica.
No, I asked because the place where we probably mentioned it last year, it's got loads of geek memorabilia, and I could see one Battlestar Galactica picture, and I says, hello, can I have a beverage? Yes. I was like, do you know if there's any other Battlestar Galactica stuff that's not that one that's over there? I think there's another one over there, actually. And I was like, oh, really, really? And I never got a chance to see, because Greg didn't feel well.
Yeah, I found out what that was, by the way.
What was that, Greg?
It was actually a stomach bug. Because I apparently got a very mild version of it, because there was other people that I know that are now suffering from it and have had similar symptoms.
Oh, if I catch that off you, Greg, I'll not be impressed. I'll not be... If everyone in that cinema catches that, we'll not be impressed.
Well, I will give you one...
I'm immune, though, because I'm a Cylon.
I will give you one thing, Anthony, or at least I was going to. Until you incredibly said Cylon again. Haven't started using the word frack.
Don't worry, Brian. I've nearly said it to me, because my dad's been watching it as well. I've nearly said it to him. See if he picks up on it, but...
Frack.
Don't worry. I might be sad. I'm still excited after watching that show.
I've not started watching it yet, but I will on your recommendation.
Good. And Brian, in 10 years' time, is going to be like, Netflix.
There's nothing left on Netflix apart from Battlestar Galactica.
10 years' time, Netflix is going to be some post-apocalyptic wasteland of Cylons and...
Cylon flicks.
Well, you'll have
Cylons and meth labs.
Yes.
We'll have all forgotten about it due to Brian Singer's Battlestar Galactica, which is probably never happening. Are you getting annoyed at that? And I looked it up and I was like, all these news items are for 2012. Why is Anthony getting annoyed at it now?
Because, you know, I'm rare in a sense. Like, how am I going to put this? I don't like when people jump on bandwagons. But
so you wait till the bandwagon's been abandoned and then get it out and redo and then start recruiting again.
I think with films and I don't know, with games and comics and anime, when people like the Attack on Titan thing, like people haven't watched anime for years, which is great.
How you've changed, Anthony.
How have I changed, Brian?
First met you and you were going around, you were dressed up. First of all, you cosplayed as Heath Ledger Joker and you spent the entire weekend thinking of variations of Why So Serious.
But that wasn't jumping on it. I'd been there from the Nolan beginning. I'm getting wrong. I'm not saying I was there since the Detective Comic days, but I was there from Nolan's beginning.
How about the time before that when you used to style yourself as Russell Brand?
Right. This isn't a podcast. This is bad radio. Maybe I should stop with this. But I would love to think Greg watched it and enjoyed it. That'd be great.
Yeah.
It was on my to watch list for a long time. And I'm done. I'm not going to mention this incarnation of it. I may want to mention Caprica, which I'm also watching at the moment, which is the other series. But anyway, I've had enough of this. I'm worried in case where it's going to go.
In the background while I'm playing Pokemon.
You've got to know, don't watch it in the background while playing Pokemon.
Anyway.
Brian, watch it. Greg, watch it. Everyone, watch it.
Anyway, no game today because I'm... saving all those probably for the Christmas episode.
Okay. And this, I think, was a good episode. Yeah. I think we did it good.
Yeah. Thumbs up. Hope you enjoyed. So, Greg, where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me on Twitter as usual, which is at Batto. So BATTOU. You can also find me on Tumblr as Burnhole, and I mostly just regurgitate stuff that Marvel artists post because I like it. It's pretty pictures. that's about it, really. That's the only two places you can find me at the moment.
Anthony, how about you? Where are
you? Well, listen to this. I have made a rival Twitter to Greg's. It is at Battosai. I didn't say Battostar Galactica.
You messed up your own gag.
Yeah, I did. It just came to us. But no, I haven't done that. Projects are still in the Well, I was going to say dead in the water, but they're not. I'm just waiting for stuff to continue with them. But nothing on them yet. Just Twitter, really. Ant Askew. Tumblr. Umlaut ampersand. Just Google it. I've not tumbled in a while. I tend to view rather than I do post.
I was going to plug Techzilla before, because I almost forgot I have to plug Techzilla, which is something I do with a laser cutter and a 3D printer. Basically, we make keyrings and stuff and pretty cool things. So you can find us on Twitter as Techzilla, or on Tumblr as Techzilla, or on Facebook as Techzilla.
How do you spell Techzilla? Because I'm sure...
Yeah, TEKZILLA. We're Techzilla UK.
Okay, you find me on Twitter at awesome_engine, and I will normally link to everything else I do on the internet there. And as always, you can find this podcast on dynamitingthebrain.com, on facebook.com/dynamitingthebrain, and on iTunes. So why not subscribe and write us a review so that more people can find out about the festival that is Dynamiting the Brain. Goodbye!
See you. Crack off. I had to do it. The first time I've ever said it. Oh, it feels good.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.